Calvary because of the old rugged cross. 327, let's stand together and sing it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. 327, here we go, sing it now.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
Together, when we get to the chorus, lift it up without the instruments on the last now.
To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear.
Then you'll call.
It any sweeter than that. Wow. Brother Matt Kuna, if you will, please make your way up here and pray to open us up this evening. Brother Matt's going to be teaching our Horizons group. He and Miss Randy are going to team up and be a part of that group, and I'm excited for them too. I'm excited for that class. I, of course, hate to leave them behind a little bit, I guess, to move to somewhere else, but with things changing, part of that is a change there, but it's going to be great for them, and I'm excited. But this is going to be a good night. The old rugged cross. But its power is still as new as ever.
Amen.
And it's effective for you. Brother Matt, come and pray for us, please, sir.
Thank you. Dear Father, I just thank you for all that you've done, Father. And I just thank you for Pastor's 20 years of service to this church and his faithfulness to it, Father. I know that you still have a plan for this church, and this church's goal isn't over. I just pray that you be with us all as we transition through this time, that we would see your hand through all of it. I just pray that we continue to look to that old rugged cross and that gospel message. And I pray that you be with this service now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Well, tonight we have a nice full platform of music for you right now. And Brother Pavel, I think you had something that you wanted to say. Come on ahead if you would. And the Miragers, I think, are also gonna sing again. God bless
you. Прежде чем эта группа сейчас споет, я бы хотел в нескольких словах обратиться к моему дорогому брату и пастору Джон Рейнольдс.
Before this group sings tonight, I would like to say something to my dear friend, Pastor John Reynolds.
Дорогой пастор, я хочу сердечно вас поблагодарить за то, что на протяжении 11 лет мы находимся вместе с вами.
Dear Pastor, I would like to thank you for the past 11 years that we've been here, that we've been able to be a part of this church.
От всей семьи, от всей этой группы, мы благодарны вам за ваше внимание пасторское.
From my family and from the whole group on stage, we're deeply thankful for your pastor's heart for us.
За вашу пасторскую любовь.
For your love.
За ваше внимание, которое вы оказали лично к моей семье.
For the attention that you've given, especially to my family.
За все то тепло, которое мы могли здесь ощутить.
For the warmth that you provided for us.
За вашу жертвенность в вашем служении как пастора.
For your sacrifice as a pastor.
И за все то, что все только что доброе я мог и вся моя семья могла видеть вас. Большое вам спасибо.
And for all the good that you were able to show to my family.
И я хочу оставить пожелание одно место из Святой Книги Библии.
I'd like to leave a passage from the Bible.
Я попрошу брата Эрина прочитать это место.
Brother Aaron, if you could find it and read it.
Это второе послание Тимофею.
2 Timothy.
4 глава.
Chapter 4.
7 и 8 стихи.
7th and 8th verse.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen. И последнее.
And lastly.
Находясь в этой церкви, я много выучил новых чудесных песен.
Being in this church, I learned a lot of new wonderful songs.
Но одна для меня очень близка и дорога.
But the dearest one to me.
И мы еще раз хотим для вас ее исполнить.
And we'll play it one more time for you.
Помните ее.
Thank you, my friend.
I think most people would be able to echo exactly the same kinds of things that Brother Marinchenko has shared. As Brother Aaron mentioned, make sure, you know, if we started tonight with this group here, we'd be here till midnight if we had a testimony service, you know? And not to brag on a man, but to brag on what God has done through that man. But if you would, in these next few weeks, maybe go through several drafts and write that down, something that he and Becky can take with them and read over and over and over again. And so that'll be great. But listen as the choir sings. The whole thing about having a mansion over the hilltop, what if no one told you to come to Jesus? What if no one told you about the goodness of the Lord? Listen as the choir sings.
Save a wicked sinner, for he has loved.
I hope you remember the time that Jesus came to you. You see, we didn't find Him. He found us. I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. God bless you. Let's take our hymn books, turn to page 343 if you need it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Let's stand together if you need it. Most of you can just sing it from your hearts. Here we go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
I picked a verse for you to sing solo on that you were not familiar with. So I'm going to let you redeem yourself. Okay, here we go. The ladies through many dangers, toils, and snares. Sing it, ladies.
Through
many. There you go. I have already come. Be seated. After all that good singing and testimonies, the last thing we want to do is stop and do announcements, right? But they're exciting opportunities, so we don't want you to miss them. Just a few things we will mention. But before we do that, do we have any guests here this evening? I know we have some folks down front. Pastor, would you want to introduce these folks down front?
Well, I'll introduce them a little bit later. This is Brother Eric Porterfield. You've heard me talk about Eric Porterfield, blind missionary from West Virginia. He and his wife are here with us tonight. They were in northern Florida this morning, drove down here to be with us tonight, and we've been planning for them to be here for a good little while, been helping so much with the work that we had done to turn it over to the people there in West Virginia, in Welch, West Virginia. And you're going to hear from him in a little bit of his testimony and what the Lord has called him to do. I'm looking forward to that, and I know you are also. And we'll let you introduce your wife then, Eric, okay? Okay.
Anyone else this evening? It's your first time being with us here at the home place. We don't want to miss you. I'm looking around. If you do see somebody close by you don't recognize, make sure you shake their hand and introduce yourself. Here's the announcements that I'll mention. Four things. First of all, search the Scriptures. Our discussion will be this Saturday. No meal, just light refreshments. This Saturday, 3 o'clock, covering the second Peter, the epistle there. I can't get it out of my mouth, but we will discuss it, even if I can't say it. Horizons, we'll be going out to eat right after the service tonight, going down to Cheddar's
in Sanford, down to Cheddar's in Sanford. Don't want to wait too far after the service because they will close up on us, so let's don't miss that. So after you've made your greetings and mingled a little bit, head on down there. If you need to catch a ride with somebody, grab them before they leave. Also, this Tuesday, Super Seniors will be leaving out. If you don't have your spot reserved already, it is too late for that because they had to get tickets ahead of time. But Brother Jim just wanted me to remind you, be here between 9:30 and 9:45 so the bus can pull out at the appropriate time to get us down there. Last thing I'll mention is this Master Club is needing some folks to help out. You don't have to be in there for the whole service, but they need some folks for the Bible memory time, for the book time, as they call it. It's not heavily involved amount of time that it takes, but they do need some folks to do that. I guess y'all still need some people. Is that right? Still needing some folks? I'm looking.
Yes.
Two people, is that right? Okay, two people. So see Brother Mio, Miss Stephanie, maybe Brother Chris, Taylor, and get involved in that. Thank you.
Well, I don't believe I could do that. I just don't believe. I don't believe. Heard that somewhere kind of stuck in my mind. I hope somebody will say, yeah, I can do that. What do I have to do? Well, I thought you said you could do it. I'll do whatever God has for me to do. I'll just do it. I think I'm going to have Brother Eric come at this time. This is, I don't know whether you and your wife know that this is coming down to final things for me here in this church. If you will, once he gets his hand on the rail and can get up the steps there, right there you go. Tonight is the last normal Sunday night service for me. We're beginning those last things. Next Sunday night, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. And probably this week, the magazines, God Bless America magazines, are going to come in. And there's going to be in that magazine an interview, an exit interview with your pastor. And it'll give you a website to go to that will talk to you about the rest of the interview that is not in the print edition of the magazine. And I'll say more about that later, but it has to do with the Lord's Supper and what we do here. And I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope it'll be a good memory for you. It's not very many people that take on going to the mission field. It's very few blind people that would take on the work of missions throughout the world. But God, in a very pointed way, got Eric's attention and called him to this ministry. And I want you to hear Eric Porterfield, how God has spoken to his heart, what God has done for him, and what God is doing through him. And Eric, I do want you to introduce your wife and let her know about that. It's good to have you here with us today, my friend, and thank you so much. God bless your heart.
Well, amen. I'd like to ask my wife, Jessica, to please stand if she would. I think she would be on my right-hand side if you would. This is my wife, Jessica Porterfield, and my daughter, Beth, is back with her grandmother up in Bernardina Beach, where we were at a missions conference this morning. Honey, you can be seated. Nothing worse than having a blind husband sit there to introduce you, and then you continue on, you're nervous or whatever, and she's just standing there gawking, you know. That really doesn't happen, but it sounds good, amen. But I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me and also for restoring my life after being a disobedient Christian, which I'll get to in a moment. I'd like to thank Pastor Reynolds for the friendship we've been able to develop in recent days with a common link to the work that's going on in Welch, West Virginia. Thank you all for sharing him and all that goes into that, his influence and leadership. As the Lord moves forward, there will be the spearhead influence that God has used in order to get that going. I just appreciate his vision, his faith. I look around at what's going on here, have no clue of that until I got here, and just what God has been able to do through a man that was willing just to submit himself to the Lord and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and then the Lord just moves his hand. I appreciate your influence and leadership, Pastor Reynolds. God bless you as you get ready to retire here in the next few weeks from the pastorate, but I'm sure we'll be into a whole lot more things after he's retired. It's just in his blood. But Blind Faith Ministries was established in 2012 out of the Rich Creek Baptist Church in Spanishburg, West Virginia. And from that ministry, it was only intended to fill pulpits, maybe preach some meetings. But on April 25th, 2012, our lives were changed forever when we were in a meeting we were not technically supposed to be in, a last-minute addition. And on April 24th, we were in this missions conference about an hour from my home. The pastor that I was with this morning was actually in that missions conference as well, as he was in Nicaragua and has now come back and taken the pastorate there at Bible Baptist Church. We were invited back the next night and found out South Sudan was the world's newest nation and they were begging missionaries to come. As I sit there without my vision, I believe the Lord impressed in my heart I needed to look into what was going on over there. And I knew that I needed to include my wife on that to not just try to jump ahead of what the Lord would have for us to do. And I talked to her about it on the way home, and she had informed me that she did her senior research project on the persecution of Sudan and how she would love to go. So we get home, we're rejoicing in the Lord on our travel home, and I said, I think we ought to take a trip in June. She said, June of when? I said, here in just a few weeks, amen. If the Lord's laid it on her heart to do it, let's do it. I called AAA the next day and try to get one of those tour books, you know. I said, need a tour book of Juba, South Sudan, try to sound refined and what my plans are. They said, sir, we don't have any tour books for Juba. We can't do anything but get you a flight into the country, and you have to have these certain requirements. I did not have those, and I said, well, I want the Lord to close the doors. If he doesn't want me there, he can close them, but I'm going to do everything I can to follow what I believe the Lord has for me to do in this situation. Called my pastor friend that I just recently met there and told him what had went on. He got a hold of the missionary. I asked him who he knew in South Sudan. He didn't know anyone there. He just had a pastor that had told him about a young man he was supporting going there. So that pastor gets the information. I call this young man who was on deputation at the time, and he's already back home now. And at the time, was the only independent Baptist missionary in the country. And I talked to him. I said, look, I can't get in. I'm wanting to take a trip in June. Who give you your invitation letter to get into the country? And he told me, he said, give me the man's name. He said, this man is who give me the invitation into the country. And he's actually taking a trip in June. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you tagged along. So I call this man and tell him that we want to stay over there for about 6 weeks. And he tells us he's staying a week. He said, but you can use a vehicle, travel around, do whatever you need to do. And you're welcome to do that. So we know God is moving in this now. All we had to do from there is raise about $10,000 to take care of our trip and our expenses and everything. And I had 44 days to do it. My wife had developed a website for us, and we had a donate page that no one had given to other than my assistant pastor. And he'd give me like $10.17, you know, just to make sure the thing worked. But we'd not had any official donations. And he actually let me keep it. You've met Brother Maddox. He didn't make me pay him back. Amen. But we were about 24 days from having to depart. We had about a quarter of what we needed. There was a young man that needed to go to a rehab that our pastor wanted to send. The Lord impressed in my heart that we needed to help that young man as well. I said, Lord, we don't have nearly what we need to do the work you've got us to do. How am I going to do this? But I believe the Lord led me to do it, told my wife it's what we were going to do. The next day, we thought it was a spam email. A lady that had helped me get a job outside of Chicago put over 10 times what we had decided to give to that young man into our donate page as its first official donation. Amen. Unexpected, out of nowhere. From that decision of faith, it was not the amount or anything like that, but just a faith decision, which we need to have every day in our daily lives. Faith decisions, believing that the Lord can and will use even us. The Lord just rained and poured out what we needed for that trip. A man that we don't think was a Christian. He is coming to a revival that I was preaching that was already pre-planned as a lost man, but he had cancer. He was coming to church with his wife. Soon after he was cleared with a bill of health, he fell out of church. But during that time, he gave us the largest single gift that we had for our trip. And we were able to have what we needed to go to South Sudan. Through the first week we were there with the group, we didn't do a lot of things. We were just observing and trying to get things done. And then we were there with people we did not know after they left, trying to figure out what the Lord had for us to do. So we did what the Bible has taught us. We preached the gospel. As people that trusted Christ for salvation, if they wanted to get baptized, we baptized them by immersion and tried to assemble a group together in a local assembly of a New Testament church. I believe that is the biblical model. We had many people make profession of faith there, started a work there, and then the Lord brought us back and we went on full-time deputation. I'm a commissioned ordained officer out of the Rich Creek Baptist Church. That's not of my own authority, but my church recognizing a call of God on my life, commissioning me to be able to hold the office of an evangelist, pastor, teacher, or a deacon, and to fulfill any work that the Lord has for us. And Blind Faith Ministries has extended by partnering with national pastors and church planters now across five countries. We've got six men in Venezuela that we support, a man in Cuba that we work with and support. Saw a small house church started there. Northern Uganda, we were able to see another work started in 2013 and did not know that that was going to be an anchor point that we were going to have to use to reach South Sudan because of the war that was going to break out. But God knew all those things. And from there, there's 150,000 refugees within 1 hour of that base. And we want you to pray for us as we're trying to raise funds for that project and to take care of that property and making sure that our paperwork is straight as we try to renew our non-government organization in Uganda. This has all happened after losing my eyesight in 2006. I was away from the Lord and was not doing the things I believe the Lord had called me to do. Deep-seated roots of bitterness were in my heart and life. And as the Lord chastened me and tried to discipline and correct me as one of His children, I continued to err and to stray and get away from the things He'd had me to do. And on December 10th of 2006, I was in a big altercation that with a multitude of guys that instantly took my sight from me. And, I thought, this is it. This is over. And for about 2 years, it was just back and forth, all the struggle that would happen with that. And I remember being in my parents' home and on their couch saying, Lord, I know I haven't been what I should be for You, but now I'm not able to do anything. And I don't know, what's going to happen from here. I'm sorry for what's happened, but I need Your help. And the Lord illuminated me to this, that no matter what, I wasn't going to die and go to hell. I lived better than 90% of the world in the state I was in. And I never had to get up off of my parents' couch the rest of my life if I didn't want to. And I sit there with my head in my hands, and I looked up to the Lord, and I said, how, with all the training You've given me, have I missed the most basic element of Christianity to just to be grateful for who You are and what You've done for me? Started thanking the Lord in that circumstance and for what He did. A year later, I met Jessica. A year after that, we were married. Following that, took a pastorate for a short time, and for positions that we held, it just did not work out. Then Blind Faith Ministries was established. And the rest, as they say, is history and continuing to go on. I appreciate the fact that the Lord's restored me from a disobedient state. But let me encourage you tonight. It doesn't have to be that way. Give your lives to the Lord today and let Him use you today. Don't let some major catastrophe have to happen for the Lord to get your attention. My type of testimony is the worst possible testimony anyone could ever have. And I want my daughter and I want to see young people have testimonies where they live for the Lord, develop strong devotional lives when they're young, follow the instruction of their parents, grow up and marry in purity, and follow and love their Lord all their days. That to me is a strong personal testimony. And I'm just grateful that I'm a fragment that remains that the Lord has been able to find a place for and use. We desperately need your prayers. We ask you to consider, so we're just close to reaching our goal for this first phase of deputation. And then we're going to start working to bring our guys here and go back and forth to these particular places. And as we wrap that up, we're looking for churches to help us to get over the line on that. And we desperately ask for your prayers and consideration in those matters. We appreciate what all you all have done. Your reputation precedes you in what you've done in your area, as well as what you do across the globe. Appreciate your pastor for all he's meant to me in the recent days that I've got to know and spend time with him. The only thing I regret is that I wished I had known him a lot longer, and I also would like to know the truth of who is a better golfer between him and Richard Wallace. If I can get those things figured out, then I'll be able to rest well at night. But God bless you. Thank you all for your time and attention. Appreciate you for what you do.
Well, Well, I can answer that question relating to Richard Wallace. Richard remembers the times he beat me. I've beaten him so many times I can't remember. Now, I must say this, Eric. If you had perfect eyesight, I can see that you would marry this young lady, Jessica. But I can't understand how, without being blind, she would marry you. Oh, my. I appreciate that so very, very much. And, I was just sitting there thinking, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Well, I'm this. Really? In spite of it all, God is good, isn't it? And we will consider that. I'm going to give the offering tonight to these people. And we'll receive the offering after a while, but we're going to give it to these folks. We'll cover their expenses here and everything like that. And then whatever you give, we will pass along to them. And we'll learn a little more about exactly what the needs are and where they are. And as I understand it, you're working now to build a fund to bring guys from Cuba and Venezuela and so forth here for personal training and then send them back and so forth like that. Do I get that? Is that right?
Some of them are already trained. We'll get them to help to raise funds for their guys to go out and to start churches to where they can work full-time.
Okay. And how long did you stay in South Sudan? And that's over a period of what, 6-7 years?
Four years,
over the last 4 years. Did Jessica, you go with him? You went with him? So he had some help after a while. But, this guy just travels and goes. And whenever you do that and you're blind, you have to just be able to say, hey, somebody, anybody hear me? Come over here and help me. You just have to be willing to do that. And people do, and that's a good thing. We'll look at that and consider that, and I'm sure that those who are in charge now will do that. But Eric, thank you for coming. God is so good. He's good to me. He's good to me. I have not one complaint. I have not one complaint. I have some things that, I wonder about. I said it before here. I'll probably say it some more before I'm out of here. I finally got into the place where I'm about to figure out how you do this thing. Now I'm getting too old to do it. Isn't that just the way it goes? That's just the way it goes, isn't it? But God's good, and He knows what He's doing. Let's stand together and sing it, if you will.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He answers. Greet one another. If you're down here where you can or can get around, meet the Porterfields. I want you to meet them. And they have a little area back here where that banner is standing, and they have prayer cards there, all those kinds of things. I want you to meet them after service, but I want you to greet one another. Fellowship a little bit as the choir comes down to be with you, and then get ready to give. you so much. Ushers, come forward if you will. And we'll receive our offering tonight. Of course, everything that's in an envelope or is so marked that would be your regular giving will go into the regular offering, but everything else will go straight to the Porterfields, and we'll get them taken care of and thank God for them, for their ministry and for what they're doing. And I've told the people here, I don't know what the guys are going to do up there in West Virginia and Welch. I don't know what they're going to do. But if they don't do it, just take Jennifer and go down, Jessica, and go down there. You better take Jessica, not Jennifer. Okay. Go down there yourself and start a church. I know some guys that'll help you. If they don't get it done, go ahead and do it yourself. Sometimes people say, let George do it. Everybody's trying to figure out who George is. I don't know, but he's a busy man. He must be a busy man. Everything's left for him to do. You got any money?
Yes, sir.
You know I'll never pay you back. Okay. Okay. Ooh, you do have some money. Okay. All right. Didn't know I was going to give you this much, Eric. But I'm going. Oh, my. Father, I thank you for people who, in spite of what we would call handicaps, have just said, I believe I'll just go ahead and serve God anyhow. And I think you delight in that, Lord, to show that your power is sufficient, your arm is strong. Now, I ask you to bless the ministry of Blind Faith Ministries. I pray you'll supply every need. I pray you'll bless those that work full-time in the country, countries under this ministry, and I pray that you'll bless and help them. Bless as we give tonight, Lord. Whatever it is, may it be a little encouragement to these dear folks to let them know that your people do love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Get your Bibles ready in just a moment. Pastor's coming with a message for our hearts tonight. Before he does, Melanie Libby is going to sing a beautiful song. Listen, the prayer of consecration. God bless you, Melanie.
Consecration. Wonderful, wonderful. I don't know where to tell you to open your Bibles to. I think Colossians chapter 2. And it'll take me a minute to get there. I'm going to read some verses to you before we get there. From the Old Testament it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," Isaiah 55, "come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come, buy wine, milk, without money, without price." Wow, it sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Proverbs speaks of putting your money in your pocket with holes in it. In bags with holes in it. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "They that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ," they be they that are such, that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, not good works, but good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. To deceive. Now we come to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Wow. Beguile you. Deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent from flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Church of Colossae, interesting church. Shortly after the establishment of the church, I say shortly after, probably 40 years, after the establishment of the church in Colossae, it was destroyed by an earthquake. It's about 75 miles east of Ephesus. And no doubt that probably while Paul was in Ephesus, he journeyed over to Colossae and preached there and established the church there. On down in verse 8, he says, beware. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 18, he says again, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels and intruding into those things which you have not seen. I say again, the person that says to you they know something that God says you can't know, watch out. Watch out for them. Don't send them any money. Don't send them any money. Don't listen to them. They may have some good things, and they may have fair speech and wonderful words. But if they say they know something God says you can't know, you watch out for them. They don't know that. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you want to turn there, over just a little ways to the right. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said, I know this, that even among some of you here, laying on my shoulder and crying and hugging my neck and weeping, among you are going to rise up some, but turn aside people from following God. Tonight, I bring you another thought that is not new. And I tell you this not because you don't know it, but because you do know it. Beware of counterfeits. Beware of counterfeits. Many years ago now, my dad was still pastoring in West Virginia. I was there, went, picked up pizza. Traveling, had a $100 bill. Gave them a $100 bill. They gave me back a few pennies and four twenties. I tried to spend one of the twenties the next day. It was a counterfeit. It was a counterfeit. It wouldn't spend. At Walmart, the lady said, sir, I don't believe I can take this. And I looked at her and said, I don't blame you. I wouldn't take it either if I'd seen it. Some observations about counterfeits. Only things of value are counterfeited. You don't see many people counterfeiting pennies. If I paint a picture, there's nobody going to try to reproduce it. I promise you that. Only things of value are counterfeited. The counterfeiter does not have the authority nor the power to produce the genuine. Now, you can relate to that, I think. It's imitation, it's man-made. The only difference in counterfeit and what our government does is they have the authority to print it. And so they just keep the presses running. A counterfeiter answers to the authority that produced the genuine. They're accountable to that authority. A counterfeit has no value when you need the genuine. When you need the real thing, counterfeit has no value. You know, they say about Coke, it's the real thing. It's the real thing. If you have to have a Coke, Pepsi won't do. You got to have Coke. I mean, now an RC might work, but that's been gone a while, hasn't it? Yeah. The value of a counterfeit is only for show. It's only for show. It has no real value. I remember whenever we first started doing security systems on cars, security alarms. Inside there was a little light. If you knew where to look, you could see a little light, a little red light. Blink, blink, blink. You remember that? Remember the cars there? I knew guys that got a little light and put it in their car. They didn't have a security system, but they had a little light in their car. I remember back then, CB radios were a big deal. Everybody liked to have it. It was really a status symbol to have a CB radio. Guys would put antennas on their cars. It didn't have a radio. Yeah, it's just for show. Just for show. All show, no go. Now, I don't know about you, but if I worked and knew I was going to get paid in counterfeit money, I believe I'd find another job. I mean, if I worked for a counterfeiter, I'd still want to get paid in real money. I believe I would want that. Now, the things of God are things of value. And that's why the devil tries to counterfeit those things. Why do you spend your money, your labor, for that that is not bread, and your money for that that satisfieth not? Why do you do that? It's because people are deceived. They would not do that, I don't think, rationally. I don't think they would do that were they not deceived. I listen to some people talk in the political realm on news and read things they write and so forth like this, and I wonder, where does that come from? And I get the idea that they really believe that. And it's, you say, well, how do you know it's wrong? Because it's against the Word of God. Now I'm going to give you, and I've got them numbered right tonight. Five things that are counterfeited. And I'm going to give you the counterfeits. And I'm going to tell you how to tell the difference. Okay? Okay, here we go. Real quick. Number one, success. Only used one time in the authorized version of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate in there day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make the way prosperous. And verily, thou shalt have good success. Now, there's other words like prosperous and so forth like that that are used that are very similar words. But the only time in our Bible that the word success is used is there in John chapter 1, verse 8. Success. Now, there's all kinds of things running under the guise of success. Generally, they have totally to do with money. And yet some of the most unsuccessful people in the world are some of the most wealthy people. I mean, there are people that their lives are in shambles, their homes are falling apart. Their kids are crazy. But they got money. They got money. And people think of them as successful. Popularity. Popularity goes under the guise of, it's a substitute. It's a counterfeit. Popularity is a counterfeit for success. What is success then? Success is the certainty of God's approval on your life. The smile of God upon your life. To the point that whenever, as Charles Spurgeon says, when I look up to God and say, Lord, I love you, I want Him to look back and say, yeah, Charles, I know it. Wow. Wow. The smile of God on your life. The fulfillment of God's will in your life. That's success. That's absolute success. Now, how can you tell the difference? How can you tell the difference? Here's how you tell the difference. This is the test. How much of what you call success will you have after you die? That's how you tell the difference. If your measure of success is money, how much of that are you going to have after you die? You never find a U-Haul following a hearse. There's no trailer hitch on there. Five minutes after you did, only the things that were done concerning eternity will make any difference in your life. That will be the true measure right there. Don't buy a counterfeit. Don't spend your life on a counterfeit. And come to the end of your life and say, I have nothing. I have nothing. If you're going to be popular with somebody, be popular with God. Amen. Number two, humility. Humility. Now, humility is a wonderful spiritual trait that we all should want and we all should seek to have. In James chapter 4, it deals with this matter. Of course, the Word of God deals with it a lot, this matter of humility. It deals with that. You know, my friend Richard Wallace, he said, I know a fellow, he has a humility to be proud of. Heard about a fellow, he had a sermon, he had worked, and he had put together this sermon on humility. It was an absolute masterpiece, and he said as soon as he got a crowd big enough, he was going to preach it. And we make all kinds of jokes about stuff like that. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself, he that puts himself forward will be pushed back. He that humbleth himself. Now, yeah, our philosophy is he who doesn't toot his own horn, his horn shall remain untooted. But that's the Word of God says, he that humbleth himself. Now, we sometimes pray for God to humble us. But God doesn't say, pray that I will humble you. Now, no doubt about it, God can humble you. He can do that, can't he, Eric? He can do that. But he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season, in the proper time. And he's the one that knows the proper time. What's the counterfeit? The counterfeit. The counterfeit of humility is shyness. Now, some people are naturally shy. That's. But a shy person may or may not be humble. And some people who are very, very proud are very shy and timid because they want to be asked. You know, somebody asks you to do something, you say, well, no, I don't believe I can do that. Oh, yeah, you can. I think you can. You can really do this. You're good. Well, no, I don't know. And you want them to keep telling you, yeah, you're good. You can really do that. You really have. You can. And no, I don't really. Oh, come on. Tell me some more. Self-depreciation. Putting yourself down. I quote Golda Meir, that great lady prime minister of Israel from many years ago. She said, you don't have to be all that humble. You're not all that great. Well, I just praise the Lord, you know. Well, we do praise the Lord. We thank you for what you do, but we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Now, this is the question, the test, whether you have real humility or whether you have some kind of a counterfeit. Do you peacefully obey God even when you're fearful? Even when you're fearful, you say, whoa, if that's what God wants me to do, then I'll just do it. I used to give this test of humility. A test of humility, a real test of humility, is if you stop and help someone on the side of the road that has a flat tire in the rain. And they speak to you, talk to you, and you go to church with them. You don't know each other well, but you go to church with them. And you help them. You get them back, get that little donut on there and tell them, don't drive too fast now. And down the highway they go, and you get them going. And then next Sunday, you see them at church. And as you walk toward them, you hear them thanking another person for stopping on the side of the road and helping them with their flat tire. And you say, wait a minute. That wasn't that guy. That was me that did that. But the other guy says, thank you. Think nothing of it. That'll put it to the test, won't it? That'll put it to the test. Do you do what God has for you to do even when you're fearful and lacking in confidence, and know that on your own you can't do it? Number three, joy. Joy. God's blessing to His people. Joy. There's a lot of counterfeits for joy. That feeling of contentment and satisfaction and happiness, that fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, that desire that God has for us, I write these things to you that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. What's the counterfeit of that? One word, simple word. Fun. I will not be traveling out of Orlando anymore. But I do remember a striking thing on one particular trip that didn't strike me until the return. As we were leaving Orlando, there was a contrary bunch of people on the airplane. Parents griping at their kids, kids griping at their parents, fussing and complaining and irritable and couldn't get along with each other. And it was evident throughout the entire place. And they all had these stupid little ears on. And they had all these kinds of toys with them. And you knew where they'd been. Now, I watched that on the way out. On my return trip were people coming to Orlando. And they were all, they were all giddy and excited, and everybody was getting along, and everybody was having fun, and everybody was happy, and everything like this. And I thought, isn't that the way it is? And I used to kid about these airlines, particularly like Allegiant, and it used to be AirTran was like this. What they do is they go out and pick up people, bring them to Orlando, take all their money, and send them home. And that's what they do. And they are happy approaching it, but then this money is gone, the fun is over, and they have no joy. And they're just contrary and upset and arguing with each other, and everybody's on each other's nerves the whole time. Fun, the counterfeit for joy. Now, how do you test that? How do you test that? Is God pleased with the good time you have, and are you still happy after the event is over? Number four, victory. The counterfeit of victory is manipulation to get your own way. That's the counterfeit of victory. And some people think if they can manipulate people and manipulate things, manipulate situations to get their own way, then they've won. They even try to manipulate God. They say, well, God, I'll do this if you'll do this. Why don't you do this, God, and then I'll do this. And then God does that and say, I got God to do that. I'm not going to do what I said. They maybe don't say that. They just don't do it. Victory has to do with overcoming opposition. God does not want us to live in defeat. We live in victory. Victory is God's will for every believer. But it's not a human manipulation of things. It is an experiencing of the power of God that gives victory in our lives. Now, how do you test whether it's victory or some kind of a counterfeit? Is God glorified when it's done? Is God glorified when it's done? And it's very evident that God has done it. I've prayed this. I hope you have prayed this. I pray it often. God, do something that's so great, you have to get the credit for it. That there's no way any human being can take any credit for it whatsoever. Number five. I won't spend time here on this, but I must say this. And that's salvation. Salvation. Sins forgiven. Home in heaven. Indwelt by the Spirit of God. What's the counterfeit of salvation? Oh, dearly beloved, the counterfeit of salvation is religion. Religion is the counterfeit. You ask people if they're saved, they say, well, I'm as religious as most people. I go to church. I do this. I've been baptized. All this counterfeit. All this counterfeit. Religion. Religion. And whenever people who know nothing about this deal with us, they deal with us as religionists. They don't know who we are. Menachem and Judy were here first of this month. Sometime, I guess, the first Sunday of this month. They were here in the service. It was at least 5 years of talking and witnessing to Menachem before he ever understood that we're not Catholic. And he understood that one night on the bus when I was talking and finishing up the tour on the way to the airport. I was talking about the book of Hebrews, about he once suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and about how the sacrifice of Christ was once for all, and that he does not suffer ever again. He does not ever suffer again. And we had talked and preached and prayed and sang and the whole nine yards. We were coming near the airport. And I sat back down beside him there on the bus. And he looked at me and he said, you mean you don't believe that every time they do that mass that Jesus suffers? And I thought to myself, as long as I've been talking to you, you think like that? But it just couldn't get through. Religion. Religion. There's more people going to hell through religion than any other way. Religion is the counterfeit for salvation. Don't buy that whatsoever. Now, the test is this. The test of the counterfeit, whether you have the real, is this. What's the object of your faith? That's the test. Is the object of your faith your baptism, your church, your denomination, your church membership, whatever? Is the object of your faith that thing that a person says whenever you ask, are you going to heaven when you die? The thing that comes out of their mouth is the object of their faith. That's what comes out. And if it's anything beside the Lord Jesus Christ, they've bought into a counterfeit. Now, it's bad. It's bad when a believer buys a counterfeit for success. It's bad when they buy into this counterfeit for humility and joy and victory. It's bad when they buy into that. But buying the counterfeit of salvation will take you to hell. Oh, dearly beloved, let's be sure that we be no more. Colossians 2:4. That we be no more, I'm sorry, Ephesians 4:14. Henceforth, children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, buying into this and buying into that and buying into the other. Don't do that. By the sleight of men and crafty cunningness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're good with words. Good with words. All those words just come out. They just flow out. Fair speech and what it says in Romans 16:18. Good words and fair speeches. But don't buy the counterfeit. Have the real. Have the real. And I'm told this, and some of you have nodded yes to this, know more about this than I do. because you've been with banks and you've been in transaction, cash transactions in that business. You don't take a counterfeit bill and tell a bank teller, here's a counterfeit bill. This is what a counterfeit bill looks like. Get familiar with this counterfeit bill. You don't do that. You take a real bill, and you get to know that real bill. Know what it feels like. Know the texture of it. Now, I can't do this, but I've got a friend that can do this. And I don't know whether you do it as a blind man or not, Eric. I don't know whether you do it or not. But I got a friend who can take bills. You give him four bills. And he can tell you which one's a one. He can tell you which one is a five, which one's a 10, which one's a 20. He can also, I think, tell you a 50 and a 100. But he can tell the difference by the feel. By the feel. Now, of course, a blind person can always do that with coins. You can always tell what coin it is. You can tell whether it's smooth around the edges. Which coin's smooth around the edge? Penny's smooth around the edge. What else smooth around the edge? Nickel's smooth around the edge. Dime smooth around the edge? No. Quarter smooth around the edge? No. How about a silver dollar? Well, you can tell it by size, can't you? Boy, it's been a long time since I've seen a half dollar even. Wow. But be able to tell by knowing what the real looks like. What the real looks like. Don't buy into substitutes. Let's stand together. There may be some here tonight God's spoken to your heart about something in your life. I don't know. I asked the Lord about this tonight. I feel it's something I want to say. I want to say as a precautionary thing for the days ahead. And if God's spoken to you about something from this, it's like I saw Brother Don Shaw after service this morning. He said, Lord spoke my heart today. Didn't have anything to do with what you were preaching about, but he spoke my heart. And sometimes that happens. That happens. And that's good. That's a good thing. That's good that God does that in spite of us. If you need to come, talk to the Lord. If you're here tonight, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. If you've been buying a counterfeit, you ought to get rid of it. Get the real thing. Get the real thing. Somebody here tonight needs to come unite in fellowship with this church. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. The instrument's going to play. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You come right now. Vivi, God bless you. Should have had that substitute for power, that counterfeit for power in there. You can just get that sermon going about as many ways as you want it to go. God bless you. You may be seated. There's a lady been visiting our church here for a good little while. And come find out we have common ground way back. My soul, what 40 years ago, and in the same church, did not know Robbie and Sheila Robertson, but was in the same church with them years and years and years ago down in Hollywood, West Hollywood, just north of Miami. And Vivi, stand here with me, if you will. And I want you to meet her and get to know her. How long have you lived around this area?
1957.
That long. Wow.
Volusia County area.
Yeah, yeah. This is Vivi Galloway. And I asked her, I said, is that a nickname? She said, no. That's my name. V-V-E. V-V-E. Vivi Galloway. Vivi, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes, I do.
And have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
And have you received believer's baptism since your salvation?
Yes, I have.
And now you're coming to join in fellowship with us here and make it official. She says, they're going to do it before you get out of here. I said, you better get on it then. If you rejoice to receive her, would you let her know it by saying a good warm amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we do rejoice. And we say welcome. Welcome to this family. Welcome to the family. My friend, welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to this family of God. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let's stand together. And I want you to come by and shake hands with Vivi and tell her how glad we are to have her here. And I hope that Cheddar's is still open, young people. It ought to be. It ought to be. You can get down there in half an hour, surely. But don't drive fast. Got it?
No.
Say, got it?
No.
Okay, I'm not very convinced. I think I better call. I think I better call State Highway Patrol. Tell them to watch out for you. All right. Okay. Shane, you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Okay, I worry when people get behind me. I'm not a gambler, but I just worry when people get behind me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for Eric and Jessica, Lord. I ask your blessing upon them. I pray you'll bless them in their ministry. Supply every need, Lord, and give them joy in your work. Bless their little girl, Lord. I pray that you'll bless her and help her to grow to be a great woman of God. Father, I pray for Vivi. I pray that you'll bless her in this place here. And bless us because of her. I know you have already. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come by and shake hands here.